normally what we do on Mother's Day is I have my wife come up and she prays for you ladies, you moms. And it's a good time now for me to sort of fill you in on what's going on with my brother Daniel and his wife Christiana real briefly here. And that's why Shauna's not here with us this morning. We didn't know what was going to be going on. On Friday afternoon, Christiana got called from her doctor. She's 36 weeks pregnant, I believe, today. And so she got called by her doctor. Some blood work came back. Her liver levels were really high. So they sort of rushed her and Daniel to the hospital. We didn't know what was going to happen. I talked to them in between services, and they're on their way home, but they're not out of the woods yet. They need your prayers. They're trying to get her, I believe, to like 37 weeks or so, and then they'll go from there. She doesn't have preeclampsia or HELPS or those more serious things that we know of as of right now, but it could change. So they need your prayers. And so that's why Daniel's not here. That's the reason why Shauna's not praying. We didn't know what today was going to be, help with our children, my mom being at the hospital, and all of those other things. So this morning, I've asked my cousin, I call him Albie, his name is Alex, to come in to pray over you ladies, not just moms, but you ladies. And I'll tell you why. About a year ago, when Josiah was going in for his second kidney transplant, me and Alex, we reconnected right before Josiah went into surgery, like a couple of weeks before. His daughter and my son were in the same T-ball league. And at that time, we were having prayer meetings every week at my house for my brothers, because Daniel gave his kidney to Josiah, if you didn't know that. And so we had family prayer meetings every week for the surgery, and I asked LB to join us in prayer for that event, and his presence was such a blessing to my family. He's one of those people that, if this makes sense to you, God has just gifted in their prayer life. He prays and you're encouraged. He prays and you're filled with faith. And so I've asked him, ladies, to come and to pray over you this morning. He comes to our church, and he's such a blessing. So if you would, please welcome my cousin, Albie.
Thanks, Dave.
Yes, sir.
What a blessing. Davis, how about just a hand for Dave, actually, because it's just a blessing, this church and spirit on his life. So just thank you for that. And so I'm just thankful that Dave allowed me to come up here and say a couple words and pray for all the ladies in the church. So as I was thinking about it today, you know, and just looking through some scripture and stuff, I just want to really encourage the women here and just to think about the call of motherhood, which is such an amazing call that the Lord gifts you with, and to really just dive deep into that. And I want to just encourage you to really look into that and what that is that he's calling you to you're accessing a part of his heart that he's giving you access to as a mother. It's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing calling. It's not to be taken lightly, and it's to be sought after diligently. So I just want to encourage you in that. You know, as I think of mothers, I think of just different categories. You could have biological children. You could be a spiritual mother who might not have children, but the Lord puts people in your life that you influence and inspire during certain seasons and speak life into them. You know, you may have lost children. You may have lost a mother. Sometimes, you know, it's a hard day sometimes for people. You might be barren and desiring to have children but not able to have children yet. Or you might be, you know, young and not married yet, but desiring to be a wife and a mother someday. There's just so many things that come into that category. And just as I think about some of it too, I just want to pray for the spirit of prayer to come upon you as a mother. And I just think of, you know, the nurturing spirit of a mother that's just caring and kind, and the gentleness that comes along and the compassion that comes along with that. But then I also think of you know, the mother where you don't mess with her chicks, you know, it's violent, you know, and there's an aggressiveness to that, and there's that spirit of prayer that will go after things for their children wouldn't have if the mother didn't go after it, you know. So I just know that that's been a blessing in my life, and so I'm just thankful for that. So let's just go ahead, and if you're a woman, if you're a mother, grandmother, aunt, or just desiring, you know, one day to have children, let's just have all the women stand, and we're going to pray for you.
Yeah.
So, Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up these women to you, Father. We thank you, God, for their hearts. In Jesus' name, Father, would you impart wisdom and revelation to their hearts? Would you strengthen them with might through your spirit in their inner being? God, I ask that as they go through each day, Father,
as they struggle at times, Father, as they rejoice at times, God, I ask that you would impart love to them, impart grace, God. I'm asking for grace on their words when they speak to their children, God. I'm asking for grace and strength, God, to continue to love, God. Continue to love well, to continue to reach out in faith for their children, God, to come before you. I pray for that spirit of prayer to embolden them, to come upon them as mothers, Father. We just thank you for who they are. We bless and honor them, God. And I ask Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So we ask, God, that you would clothe these women with strength and honor. And it says she opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is in her tongue is a law of kindness. So we ask, God, for wisdom for mothers. We ask that you strengthen them, God. We ask for ones that are hurting, God, that you would encourage them. We lift them up to you, God. The barren ones, Father, ones that have gone through tragedy, God, we lift them up to you. Bless them. Shine your light. Pour out your love, God, with power in Jesus' name, God. I ask that they would feel it on the inside, that they would feel and hear Holy Spirit speaking to their hearts and empowering them. And we just thank you for them. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day.
Love you. Love you. I think all the ladies should have to stand up for the whole service here. It seems to be what you ladies do best. You blow us away. We're so blessed to have you with us on this Mother's Day. If you have a Bible, you could turn it open to Proverbs 31, just two verses from that chapter this morning. If you didn't bring a Bible, we're not going to pass them out today. We have them on the side screens, and it's easy for you to look at and reference to through the course of this message, and you can see them easily here for yourself. Proverbs 31, verse 28 says this, her children arise up and they call her blessed. And you read that and you think, yeah, Ma, you're blessed that I'm your child, right? Like, you're blessed that I'm your child. That's not what it means here. It means this, they rise up and they, with respect, they bless her. The children rise up of their mother and they bless her. Now, if you're a Bible thumper, you think, yeah, because this is a Proverbs 31 woman. Of course they rise up and bless her. You go and read what Proverbs 31, specifically verse 10 onward says, and this woman is a superhero. And maybe you're a mom and you're thinking, I'm nothing like that, Mom. I want to be, but I'm not. I've got good news for you this morning. The Proverbs 31 woman is not a real woman. She's an ideal woman. You read that sometimes and you think, I'm nothing like this lady. Nobody is. This is a perfect lady. Nobody is perfect. Just like when Jesus tells us men to love our wives the way that Christ loves the church. No man has ever done that, and no man is doing that, and no man will ever do that. But we don't stop striving to be more like him. We don't stop seeking for that perfection of love in our lives for our wives. That was a rhyme. I'm a poet, and I didn't even know it. Anyways, but you still keep seeking to be that way. This here is not some real woman being held up before us. She's an ideal woman. So if you're a mom here today, you deserve no matter what respect and a form of praise, a form of being blessed and adored by who your children are. So important for our culture to hear this. We live in such a disrespectful, you know, day and age. And we need to be reminded this morning, even if your mom's not spiritual, even if your mom's not saved or she's been nasty to you as of late, I'm going to show you in just a minute here, she's still worthy of our respect and our praise, just practically speaking. But the scripture says this, the children rise up, they call her blessed, her husband also. I love that the scripture shows us this. Husbands also should rise up and praise her. The word praise there is Hallel. You read the Psalms, you read the Hallels, the prayers of praise of the Jews to God. The Spirit of God uses the same word for husbands to use towards their wives. It means to parade her, to adore her, to lavish love upon her. In other words, guys, who you're married to is not just a contractional thing, but it's something of the heart. There should be this praise to her. Children will follow your suit. There should be that respect and that adoration. The word can be translated marriage. There's this great affection from the husband for his wife, the mother of his children. There should be that. If you don't give it to your wife, somebody else will, by the way, as a side note. There's a kick in the rear for the men this morning that we should be leading our children in the chant of blessing the woman that we are married to, the mother of our children. And even if you're not married to the mother of your children anymore, that's still your children's mom. And there should be this praise and exaltation, this adoration. Listen to what's said to us here in verse 29. This is what the husband is saying to his wife, to the mother of his children. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you are the bomb, baby. I mean, that's what he's saying. You excellest them all. There's a lot of great, wonderful women out there. I like that. He's not knocking anybody. But he's saying this, because beauty's in the eye of the beholder. You, who God has given to me as my bride, the mother of my children, you are the best. There's nobody like you. That's so important for husbands to do, that we don't compare our wives, that we don't size up our wives with other wives in the church or in the community that look so together all the time, because we only see them at their best. That we praise our wives constantly, that we thank them, that we adore them, that we reverence them. There's a call to husbands, fathers, and children to do this for the women in our lives this morning. So we're going to spend some time now talking about why we should give praise, give such honor. The first thing I want to do is I want to give you a scripture. I love basing messages always on scripture. The first commandment with promise is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's the first commandment that deals with the horizontal relationships in the Ten Commandments. And it's this: children, honor your father and your mother. In doing so, your life will be long in the land that God gives to you. A commandment with promise attached to it. Honor your mom and honor your dad. Specifically this morning, your mom. The word honor there in the Hebrew in Exodus 20 is kabod. It means place great weight upon that person. Not in a sense where you're like you're leaning on them and falling on them, although that too. But in a sense where there's a heavy emphasis on your care and attention to their life. Like you regard them. That's not something that is shallow or loose or light to you, but something that is heavy and, you know, very important to you. That's how the regard should be for your mom, the Bible says. And there should be an honor, a praise, a respect, an adoring done by you to her all of the time. That's what the Bible teaches us. So we'll get into some reasons this morning that we should be this way. First of all, just some interesting things concerning motherhood. There are 2 billion moms estimated in the world. 82.5 million in the United States. 4.5 babies are born every second. So a lot of moms being made even right now. Isn't that crazy? Like 4.5 babies every second. And I love that it's 0.5. Like as we speak, someone's legs are coming out right now, or their head. Like 4.5 people are coming into this world every second. I was just thinking of some of these things that I've collected for you. The average woman, you just think of the sacrifice that moms make, right? We're trying to, why should we praise our moms? We're giving reasons right now. 30 pounds is like the average minimum that a woman willingly takes and puts on, right? Her body to have a pregnancy take place. You think about that, how vain our culture is. And the sacrifice it is for a woman to just, even just the physical part of it, just gaining weight and having to lose that baby weight. Just how tough even that is for a woman to do. Listen to these things. The first year of baby cost is estimated to be $7,000 of baby items before the first birthday. Crazy. The cost of raising a child for a middle-income family in the United States spends $242,070 to raise a kid to 18, not including college. Laundry. Shall we talk about laundry, ladies? 88% of laundry that's done in the nation is by mom, which is crazy. 88%, that's 330 loads a year, 5,300 articles of clothing a year. That's what it breaks down to, including all the lost socks, right? How come the socks always get lost? They're always missing, right? That includes that for you guys. So somebody's counting and paying attention for you. You think about why we should show this attitude of gratitude to moms. Listen to this one. A preschooler requires mom's attention once every 4 minutes. Anybody got a preschooler here this morning? You got a preschooler age child? Would you raise your hand? Wouldn't you say that's true? At least once every 4 minutes. Mom, ma, mommy, mom, ma, mom, mommy. That breaks down to being 210 times a day. Just by your preschool, that's not even including your husband, you know, or your other children. That's just, you know, your preschool age child calling out to you, needing your attention for something. When I'm home and I just spectate, I watch my wife, you know, in her domain, just doing her thing with my kids. I'm blown away that she has any brain cells left. I'm blown away that she hasn't left me and the kids right now, you know. I mean, it's fascinating to watch her and her mother, the grace that she has not to explode. The grace that she has to endure being called and needed so much throughout the day, like many of you ladies here today. It's fascinating, like LB said, to watch a mother do her thing, to be called over and over and over and over again. Fascinating. Great needs for moms. 7,300 diapers will be changed by mom by the baby's second birthday. Now, I'm competitive, so I pulled up this next statistic for you. Listen, diaper changing speed. Average for the mom, 2 minutes, 5 seconds. Diaper changing speed for the dads, 1 minute, 36 seconds. Almost a whole minute faster. Not to boast over, guys, we're just worse wipers. We're not as detailed. We're right. We're moving quickly here. But if you think about this and you do some math, which I have done for you, because I know you all want to do the math on these things, but you haven't had a chance to yet. You look at how many times a woman changes a baby's diaper up to the baby's 2 years old, and that breaks down to 3 40-hour work weeks a year. Just changing booties. I mean, just amazing. If a stay-at-home mom or a mom of small children were to be compensated for what she does, it is estimated that in the business world, her worth would be $138,646. That's six figures. And I fully agree with it. If Shauna's gone for a day or two, I'm crying for her to come home, right? I mean, the work that moms do with their children is fascinating. It's amazing. Now, these are not even spiritual things. I'm not even giving you a list of spiritual things as to why you should bless your mom, adore your mom, as Scripture says. These are just practical things. And then you say, well, this is when they're little, right? And it only gets worse as they get older. Mark Twain says, here's what you should do. When your kid turns 13, put them in a barrel. When they turn 16, plug the hole. I like that one. Because it only gets worse. I'm watching some of you, and I'm losing hair, getting gray hair. I'm scared to death. I'm praying for the rapture of Jesus Christ like I've never prayed before. But I've come up with a list here from the internet, so it's got to be true, of 16 things that were put down by a group of writers for a prominent newspaper company I won't mention to you, but they're millennials, and they came together and they collaborated this list of 16 things that we should be thankful to our parents for, specifically our moms, that we owe a thanks for that we don't often think to thank them for. And so we move from the little years to these things. Number one. All the times that mom had to double as best friend, counselor, therapist, costume designer, hairstylist, coach, all-around solver of every problem ever. I remain unconvinced that moms aren't actually superheroes in disguise. Amen? I mean, it's so true. My mother, I think of my mom, and now I think of my wife. My wife and I are celebrating 12 years of marriage today, which feels really long. Thank you. And we're getting to that point now where I feel like what's happening to us now is like deja vu. What we're doing, I could just, like yesterday, remember my parents doing. And so I think of my mom and my wife simultaneously as I move through this message today. Because as my mom sits before me in this service and my wife did in first service, both of their faces, I'm just thinking, that's what you were and that's what you are. My mom was that to all four of her kids. She still is that to us. My wife is that to my children. It's just amazing. There's no word that we can say to thank them enough. Number two, for forgiving us when we forget to call. I'm so guilty, I can't even look at her right now. There's so many, I will call you later, Mom, or I'll text you back, and I don't. Is anyone else guilty of this? Please. Thank you, Jesus. So guilty. And we don't mean it, right, guys? We don't mean it. It's just, we don't have an excuse. We're no good, but we should get better at this. Number three, for listening to, this is a girl who wrote this one for sure. Because this is guys and girls who wrote the list. This is so a girl one. Listening to all of our pointless drama when we actually do remember to call our moms, right? Being the kind of person, number four, that we actually do want to become. Because as we all know, it's inevitable. And there are so many things, even as a man, of my mom that I want to become like. My mom is a pillar in the faith. My mom has loved Jesus since I can remember hearing her speak for the first time. My mom has been faithful to show me Jesus, not just to tell me about Jesus. And so much of who I am, as whatever I am, of a man of God, is attributed, no doubt, to her. I'm so thankful for that influence in my life. I would agree with this. So much of who my mom is, I want to become. Her faith, her constant pointing to Jesus. Thank you so much for that, Mom. Having the incredible prowess, this is my mother, only a mother whose babes have been scorned could have. A mama who protects her cubs, sometimes excessively, but we love it, let's be honest, right? Sweet, loving, little, soft-speaking mama till somebody crosses one of her babies, you know. It would be like, can I use her? Is she in here? Christy Revoli, she's got the sweetest voice. But I dare you cross one of her children, right? I mean, that's it. It's over for any mom who loves her kids. Number six, all those times we've yelled, Mom, through the house to find out where our white t-shirt was or what time so-and-so was getting home and all the other questions. I love it. We just couldn't ask Dad, right? Because if it's anything like my house, your house, half the times my kids ask me something, it's this. I have no clue. Ask your mother. I don't know. Ask your mom, right? Ask your mom. She knows everything. I know nothing. Just go ask your mom. Number seven, all the things she reluctantly bought us. I think this is so true. All the things she reluctantly bought us at the cash register of any given store. I can remember Keldors. Any of you guys remember that? Just growing up as a kid, going to certain places and, Mom, can we have this? And Mom, can we have that? Listen, all the clothes and the things we didn't really need but insisted we did. Growing up and understanding the value of the dollar, which really makes you reconsider just how much moms sacrifice. My mom, when I was a kid, did not always have the latest trends and styles going. In fact, I remember her mostly in her Minnie Mouse shirt from Disney World that my grandmother got her, that was ripped on the neck and stained with sauce and other things from cooking us food, and in sweats most of the time, not all the time with her hair done and makeup on, and I never remember getting her pedicure or manicure. Nothing's wrong with those things. But I had a mother who sacrificed like so many of you do in this way. And they deserve our gratitude. I got a wife who could care less about having the latest and the newest, whatever she has, because I go buy it for her. Because she deserves it. She's always thinking when she runs the store with her birthday gift cards or Christmas gift cards, what do my kids need? I sent her yesterday to go get a dress for a wedding that we have coming up. We have like 10 weddings this year. And she comes home with shoes and dresses for my daughters with gift cards and money that I gave her for herself. Moms are so incredibly selfless. These aren't even spiritual things, although they are spiritual. These are just physical, practical things that they deserve for us to rise up and say, we bless you, Mom. Not just today on Mother's Day, but every day. Our culture needs a kick in the rear with this. Such a disrespectful, disregarding generation we've become, so self-consumed. And today's a day to just slow our roll sort of and say thank you to the ones who brought us into this world. For all the home-cooked meals, amen, or pizzas that we didn't have to pay for ourselves, equally phenomenal, right? Man, you thank God for those things, man, when you grow up and you're out of the house. For putting up with our middle school phase, I love that one. Because middle school phase, it's such a weird phase. They're not teens, they're not little, they're just stinky, you know, and just strange, and they're intimidating, and just, they don't even know what's going on within themselves. So much change is happening. You middle schoolers in the room, we love you. We were there once. We get it. But moms especially, you put up with those things. I can remember me and my dad not even being able to sit in the same room for a season of life. And he thought I was crazy, and I thought he was crazy, and Mom was the mediator. So grateful. For giving us our siblings, whom we simultaneously once wished to sell, we are all now best friends with. They gave us our greatest gift, man, each other. And my family, that's true. I'm so thankful for my brothers and my sister. Now my sister-in-laws and my soon-to-be brother-in-law. Family. The best of friends that you'll ever have. You have all these friends when you're young, and then when you graduate high school, you think, where'd they all go? And then if you go to college, by the time you get to college, they're definitely gone, most of them. But you got your brothers and your sisters that your mama gave to you. Such a great gift. And don't forget, number 11, that whole giving birth to us thing. That should have been number one, right? I mean, if any of you have ever watched a birth before, what the lady goes through just physically to bring us into the world. If we can't think of anything else to love our moms and to bless our moms and to respect our moms for this morning, she pushed you out. She pushed you out. She gave birth to you. That in and of itself, if there's nothing else, is worth saying, Mom, I bless you. I thank you. You gave me life. You gave me life. For being our first, number 12, and at some points our only cheerleaders, who were and are proud of every little thing that we do. All the time, number 13, she spent picking us up from practices, bending over backwards to make sure we had new cleats and costumes, and were at every game and rehearsal and play date that we had planned. Number 14, doing her best even when things are most difficult in the family. Moms have this incredible magic sparkle glue that keeps it all together when it should otherwise fall apart. Amen. There's something there about that. We will eat dinner as a family. We will go and get a family picture. We will come together and play a game. We will do this as a family. They keep us together, moms. God has ordained it to be this way. Number 15, you ready? Dealing with dad. That's a good one, right? Dealing with dad. And number 16, being the boss woman of the house and of our lives, and for being living proof that there truly are people who could honestly just do it all. That's what moms are. We salute you this morning, moms. We give thanks to you this morning. You are an amazing blessing to us. But it's not just that. There's so much more that moms do and that they are to us. You ever heard the saying before that essentially moms carry you in their arms when you're little, but then when you get bigger, they forever carry you in their heart? Well, I was coming across things like that in my preparation for this message, and I came upon this truth, that's actually literal. If you've never heard of it before, it's called this, microchimerism, and it's speaking of the harboring of small, listen to this, number of cells that originated in a genetically different individual. So that when moms get pregnant, the fetus's cells travel off from the fetus to the mother and the mother to the fetus that go on with both of them for decades upon decades. So what was the fetus's cells originally in the mom break off, and most of the time you want to know where they congregate? In the mother's heart. Cells do. So that the mom carries baby cells that were part of that baby originally and initially with her ongoingly for years upon years. So when your mom says you're always in my heart, she's not joking. She's serious, and a part of her is with you. The care, the affection, the attention, the detail, the love. There's been studies done of even how a voice of a mom is so soothing and comforting in times of stress and chaos. In fact, I came across this article that was done, this article of study recently on a mother's voice and how settling it is to her kid. This is how it goes. What happens when you take a group of 7 to 12-year-olds to deliver an impromptu speech and then publicly quiz them with a series of math problems? Answer, stress and lots of it. In this study where researchers created this exact scenario, they took one more step to try to find out what would most help the girls return to a relaxed state. The girls were then divided into three groups, one comforted by physical contact with their mothers, another by phone calls from their mothers, and a third by watching a film deemed emotionally neutral, The March of the Penguins. Oxytocin rose to similar levels in the first two groups and did not increase at all in the third. Saliva and urine tests revealed this. As the hormone's presence grew, cortisol faded. Leslie Seltzer from the University of Wisconsin, who led the research, said this, and I quote, "The children who got to interact with their mothers and virtually, listen, had the same hormonal response as to when they were interacted in person or over the phone. It was understood that oxytocin released in the context of social bonding usually required physical contact, but it's clear from these results that a mother's voice alone can have the same effect as a hug, even if they're not right there physically standing next to them," close quote. That's insane. Now, again, if you've ever been under some type of derision or stress or something that's going on in your life where you're unsettled or you're uncertain or it's sort of freaky or scary to you, then your mother speaks. You know what this is talking about. You receive a phone call when you're at college. I can recall when we brought our first kid into the world. And I remember being so overwhelmed the first night alone with the baby and my wife in the hospital. I was so spooked by the whole thing. I didn't know what happened. There's this baby there that cries, and you don't know what to do with it, and you're holding it like this, you know, and everything is so strange and foreign. I remember calling my mom. I didn't know what to do. I called my mom. My wife fell asleep. I called my mom, and I said, what in the world did I do? Can I give it back, or what do I do with this? I mean, what do I do, you know? And I remember hearing her voice. I was so stressed by the whole thing. I remember hearing her voice and the settlement it brought, and it brings still. As a grown man and a father of four kids, a mother's voice, she carries you in her heart, literally. She's bending things to you when you were young, and as you've gotten older, and as you're older now with your own children. Her voice is soothing to you. Do you know that there's connection done in research to so many more things? Do you know that those who had a loving, nurturing mom statistically had bigger brains that function better? They're better, it's, research has shown, Harvard's done studies where when children are tested from 7 to 10 years old on their ability to memorize, on their ability to articulate, on their ability to work through problems, that if they come from a home where they had a loving mom, regardless of poverty, regardless of riches, which so many people often take and say that's what the cause is. No, regardless of all this, if they had a loving mother, they often did always better. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, the way the brain functions, the way the brain works, with obesity, with depression, with diseases, all of these things go back to having a mom who loves. So when the scripture says, hey, children, get up to your feet, arise, and bless and praise the one who brought you into this world. After just scratching the surface this morning, it's like, probably should. She's worth it. She's worthy of it. Now, if I can add a 17 to the list, I would say this, and I've already touched it a minute ago. I'm so thankful that she taught me about Jesus. I'm so thankful that she led me to Jesus, which would lead me to my second or third sermon point this morning. The first is that moms are worthy of praise. The second is this, moms, remember that your position is of great privilege. Because if you're all of these things that deserve our praise, that then means if you have all of that worthiness to you because of what you do, that then means you have great influence. You're in a position to greatly influence. And you know what I'm reminded of? 2 Timothy 1:5, when Paul gives a shout out to his protege's mother and grandmother for his unfeigned faith. He says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, basically, I want to thank your mom and your grandmom for your faith, because they raised you in the truth, and your unwavering, your steadfastness goes back to grandma first and then your mom. Because Acts 16:1 tells us that his dad was a Greek who most likely did not follow Jesus, but mom did and grandma did. And the shout out is given to them for them taking this privileged position and using it for the glory of God. So you moms that are here this morning, I charge you and I encourage you as you receive this praise and exaltation, which you should, that you would take this position, that you would use it to influence your children in the way that they should go. And when they're old, the Bible says, they will not depart. So keep being an influencer for the kingdom, regardless of what dad is doing, regardless of what anyone else is doing. Now more than ever, your children need you to point them to Jesus. They're getting bombarded by the culture. They're getting bombarded by the school districts, by the universities. They're getting bombarded by Hollywood. They're getting bombarded left and right everywhere they look and go. They need you to be a pillar, a sign pointer to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And you have a great privilege and opportunity to do that. And thirdly, this morning, I close with this. I love what verse 31 of Proverbs 31 says to you moms. It says this, she should be given to her of the fruit of her hands, and her own works should praise her in the gates. Which means this, not only do you deserve praise, and not only are you privileged in your position, but if you're persistent and you're faithful in your call and you don't grow weary in well-doing, in due season you will reap and be rewarded by Jesus. Let me explain to you. He says, in the gates, she should receive the fruit of her labor. This is not a real story. It's an ideal story. But there is a real story of when your time comes to an end in this life, that you will walk past those pearly gates, those golden gates, and you will stand before Jesus Christ, and he will reward you for your motherhood. If you don't faint in this season of God calling you to be a mom, So many times, ladies, you're like bombarded with, this is what a successful woman looks like. And I'm all about that. I have no problem with moms working, ladies working, whatever. That's not what this is about. But your greatest call is being a mother. Just like for us dads, and I'll get to this on Father's Day, is to be a father. Like who we influence in our home, right? If we gain the whole world and lose our family, what have we gained? But if you moms are these influences for Jesus Christ and his glory to your children, Jesus says, when you enter into my gates, into my kingdom, I'm going to say this to you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Not because you made six figures, not because you made more than your husband, not because you invented some medicine. All those things are great, but here's why. Because you were good and you were faithful with my kids that I gave you as steward over. Because that's all that you are. We got to be reminded of that this morning. We're getting crushed. Bigger houses, fourth bedroom, third bathroom, you know, three-car garage, more toys, this and that, and we're forgetting everything. There's kids at home. There's children that need their mother. And Jesus is going to base your faithfulness to them as to what he rewards you for more than anything else that you do. I love that about my wife. I could talk about her, but she's not here. She has no desire to be something. She has no desire to be known as the pastor's wife. She doesn't need the mic and she doesn't need the pulpit every time there's a ladies' gathering. And the reason being for ladies who give her a hard time is because she's taking care of my babies. She's raising my children so that I can be a faithful pastor and minister of the word of God. If she wasn't doing that and competing with me to have an equal voice in the church that God has given to us, then I can't do what I'm supposed to be doing. My house is out of order. She's given her life to be a mother, her first ministry, and she gets it. And she's settled in that. And to you all, not just because she's my wife, because she is the best in my eyes, but because she does it perfectly. She raises the children up and the way they're to go, and she's going to be rewarded for it. So don't let this world tell you lies that you've got to go make a name for yourself. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. Be a faithful mother, and Jesus will be pleased. What have you gained if you've gained the whole world and you lose your children? Now, if you've lost your children, I can tell you this, it's only for a season. If you've lost your children to this world and to the prince of this world, Jesus is faithful. Jesus will bring them back. His word will not return void. He will bring them back that when they are old, they will not depart from it. The problem is for us is we don't know what that means. We just have to keep praying and trusting and believing. But isn't that what God gave us our kids for? To really teach us how to pray? I never knew what prayer was until I had a baby. Now I'm beginning to learn. Still don't really know much about it. But I'm beginning to learn. They make you pray all the time because they're so perplexing. You get one thing down with them and then they change it to something else. You got to learn how to pray all over again for them. I was on the phone with a gentleman yesterday. His son's in his 30s going through a crisis. He said to me, do you know that I literally can't sleep? I'm up through the middle of the night praying for my boy. I'm thinking his boy is in his 30s. He'll always be his boy. Parenting, being a mom. I'm not one, but I live with one. Incredibly difficult, incredibly trying, but incredible privilege given to you by the Lord. Be faithful, ladies. I asked my wife, babe, what would be one thing you'd want me to tell the woman today from you? Don't grow weary, she said. Don't grow weary. Keep yourself in tune with Jesus and keep giving out the love of Jesus to your babies. No matter how old they are, they need Jesus. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. Michael and the team, they're going to come. They're going to close this out. And I want to have something different happen this morning than what we normally do. Instead of having all the ladies stand, we've already done that. Let's have every man stand this morning. As the scripture says, that we should stand, we should arise, and we should praise the woman. Let's do that. Every man stand, and every female, please stay seated. We want to pray for you. Like it was alluded to, because this is a tough day for so many. There are women here, I think of my mother-in-law. I'm going to go see her in a little bit. She's lost her daughter. Shouldn't be this way, where your kid goes before you, and some of you are in that place. I had a lady come up to me after first service. She's buried four of her children already. Four out of her seven kids, she's buried. Mother's Day is painful for many. We understand that. We want to pray for you, ladies. It's painful for. We want to pray for those of you who maybe your mom has passed on. She's not here anymore. Your heart is breaking. We want to pray for every single female. We want to pray for you ladies that are not even ready to get married yet. One day you will be, and we want to pray that God would keep you and make you into this type of a woman for your husband. We just want to pray for, we're grateful for women this morning. This world would stink if it was all men. Like literally physically, spiritually, I mean, every way. Look at this. After men's retreats, I go. After the third day, I want to go home. I'm like, too much testosterone. I want to go back and be with my wife. So grateful. So maybe, you know, us guys, we could just all stand and we can thank Jesus together. I'm going to pray for these women that God has brought into our lives. We're thankful for all you spiritual moms here today. If you are barren, you've never been able to have children, we do not look down upon you. We give thanks for you. Your spiritual aunts, your spiritual grandmas, your spiritual moms to our children, there's such value that God places upon you and that we place upon you. I had a little 81-year-old come up to me after first service. She shook my hand. She goes, do you remember who I am? And I said, I can't remember right now. I'm sorry. You know, she says, I'm so-and-so. I did vacation Bible school for you in your neighborhood when you were a child. And all these memories came flooding back. She taught me about Jesus. I can remember her illustration still about a little white sin and a big black sin. And how scared I was of all the little white sins that I told. And lies as a kid. And I can remember how that stuck with me. And I'm thinking to myself, whatever I'm doing here, God's going to give to you as reward and glory. You had a part in this. You had your hand in this. The Mary Passarellas, the Edie Bartons. So many of you guys, the Linda Bakers that just give their lives to our children. We are grateful to you women here today. In a culture where women are demeaned and looked down upon and devalued, we value you. We regard you as the King of Kings' daughters. We salute you this morning and we bless you. We rise up and we bless you. Amen, men? That's what we do, Lord. We thank you for these women among us. What a joy, Lord, to have so many beautiful ladies a part of our fellowship, God. We thank you for the young ones who are not even thinking about marriage. We thank you for that, Lord. Bless them. But Lord, as they get older, would you prepare them and make them into these types of a lady, Lord, this Proverbs 31, that they would be women who are adorned with a meek and quiet spirit, who are filled with grace, who are not worried only about the outward, but the inward beauty. Would you bless them and prepare them for motherhood, for what's ahead of them, Lord, that you would raise up an army of women, God, who are filled with your spirit, that you would keep our young ladies pure and undefiled from this world. God, for all of the moms here represented today, the young moms, the new moms, the moms that have been being a mom for a while now, would you strengthen them and encourage them? And whatever season that they are in, Lord, whatever they're facing with their kids, Lord, whether it's a time of darkness and uncertainty, a time of them being a prodigal, a time of sickness, a time of sorrow, Lord, would you give them strength to carry on? To be faithful in their motherhood, Lord. And for those who are seasoned moms and women among us, Lord, we thank you for them. Thank you for their example of finishing strong, Lord. Bless them. Let them feel adored by us here today. And for all the ladies who are barren, God, we pray that you would open their wombs in your time. For all the women, Lord, who desire marriage and family, God, that you'd give them grace to wait and to trust in you. Thank you for all the spiritual aunts and moms and grandmas here, Lord. We bless them. We bless you for them. May they all, Lord, every lady here today be blessed and enjoy their day. Any sorrow, Lord, we ask you would turn to gladness. We are so thankful for you, Lord. We're so thankful for these females among us. And it's in Jesus' name that all second service prayed. And all God's people said, amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord. God bless you.